I believe it's very important to look at everything from God's viewpoint. And that's truth. This is a two-word definition of truth, God's viewpoint. And what we see in the Word of God is that God's desire is to honor His Son. His Son, His delight. The one who on this earth always did those things that please the Father. And the Father delights in His Son. I was thinking this afternoon that perhaps we could just, in the few minutes remaining, look at how the Lord Jesus takes center place in the past, the present, and in the future in God's thoughts. First of all, John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And verse 16, John 19:16. Then delivered he, that's Pilate, him, Jesus, therefore unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Jesus between two malefactors. God's desire is that he should be in the midst. And there he was, crucified, as we sometimes sing, the center of two eternities, which look with rapt, adoring eyes onward and back to thee. In the midst, the Lord Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And there on the cross of Calvary, he met all of God's holy requirements. God's requirements were met so that God could be just and the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus accomplished that mighty work of redemption, atonement was made. And now God can come out in blessing and offer a full and free pardon to whosoever will. His holiness is maintained, and his grace flows out. And it's all because of what the Lord Jesus did at the cross. He answered to God for each and every sin that we have ever committed. What a Savior Jesus is! Oh, what love, what grace is his. Now, if we turn over to John chapter 20, we have Jesus in the midst again. It says in verse 19 of John chapter 20, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Well, I believe this is a picture of the assembly today. It's a picture of being gathered simply to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He now has a resurrection body of flesh and bone. He doesn't have to go through a door or a window. The doors are shut. You know, I got locked out of the house, and it wasn't anybody's fault. but my own. I left the key on the sill. I thought the door was going to be open. And this was the night before last. But I couldn't just go right through the wall of the house. I had to look for a window. And you know, every door in that house was locked. And every window was locked tight, except for one. And it just popped right up. I was able to get in. Now, that's a little picture of the goodness of God, because I certainly didn't want to force anything or break anything. And so I was able to go in. Now, my natural body has to go through a door or through a window or some opening in order to get into a building. But how wonderful to see how the Lord Jesus, in a resurrection body, he goes when the doors are shut. But he stands in the midst, picture of the assembly, gathered to his name. And the Lord Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. What a precious truth this is. And I believe that this privilege is made available to God's people until Jesus comes again. Now it tells us here the disciples were glad. Verse 20. Somebody said, this is 2020 vision. John 20:20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Did it rejoice your heart today to sit in the presence of the Lord? Did you see him in the midst? By faith, he was there, I believe. It rejoiced my heart, but, you know, sometimes I don't seem to have the 2020 vision. It's not what it should be. And it's not a good thing. Well, I believe during these meetings we've had our focus on the Lord. It is precious. I've so much enjoyed these meetings. To sit and to enjoy what this brother has to say about the Lord Jesus. And our appreciation of Christ, it only grows. And we become better acquainted with him. Because of the assembly experience, it's really a wonderful thing. You know, in the next chapter, we've got, 21:21 vision. And there's a problem here, but I understand 21:21, naturally speaking, that's pretty good vision. But notice what it says in verse 21 of chapter 21. It says, verse 20. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus says unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. See, Peter, he got his eyes on his brother, on John. And I think he probably had a loving interest in what John was supposed to be doing. But the Lord, you know, I think he gently rebukes Peter and tells Peter, keep your eye on me. And I need that too. Because sometimes we're looking around at our brother or our sister, we're thinking of what they should be doing or shouldn't be doing. And it might spoil my enjoyment of the Lord. We really need to keep our focus on the Lord. And when we do, there will be joy in our soul. We had that. Philippians 3 and 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Well, later on, this chapter 19, I should say 20, in verse 26, it says, after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. So again, in the midst. You know, the center of attraction is to be no other than Christ himself. He truly is God's delight, and in him all fullness dwells. And of his fullness have we received grace upon grace. And so this fullness is wonderful. We can't exhaust it. And in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, just in closing, the future. What about the future? Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And so it says here in verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders, fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song," and so on. Now we have a future scene. This is the glory scene. This is heaven. And it tells us here, in the midst of the elders stood, well, first of all, in the midst of the throne, and then in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain. We know who that is. That's none other than Jesus. And so he's going to be the center of attraction in the glory. And nobody is going to take any credit to themselves for being there. God will see to it that his son has the preeminence. He's going to have all the credit in all the glory. One Savior, that's Jesus. Not two. Some have the idea that, well, you do the best you can in this life, and God will take care of the rest, and you'll be okay. That makes a Savior out of Jesus, Savior out of me. Two Saviors? That's blasphemy. It's an insult to God to speak in those terms. The Lord says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. No one. You know, in Hebrews 1, it says, by himself he purged our sins. Nobody else was involved in this purging of our sins. By himself he did it. Sometimes we find those that like to take credit for doing something on their own. They say, well, I did this all by myself. Well, when it comes to salvation, God wants to take all the credit. And so I believe that in the midst we have the Lamb, the one, as it tells us here, who had been slain. And there are the marks of his passion in his hands, his side, in the glory. But the point I'd like to make this afternoon is that God wants the Lord Jesus Christ to be at the center of our lives, the center of our thoughts. And obviously, as we read through the New Testament, it's a position that the Lord Jesus takes. Whether we're willing to give him that position, that's another question. But I think the happy path in life is truly to honor the Lord. And in all things, give him the preeminence. God's desire is that all men should honor his Son.